Hey, hey, everybody. It's your girl, Carla Renata, a.k.a. the Curvy Film Critic. In honor of National or International Women's Month, we're going to continue the conversation with Captain Marvel. And Scott and I are going to talk about the South by Southwest Film Festival. Can't wait for you guys to hear all about it. Stay right there.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming back to the Curvy Film Critic. This is actually our 50th episode.
Whoa.
I can't believe we've been doing 50 episodes of this bad boy, and it's right on time because it's International Women's Month. I am your host, Carla Renata, and joining me right to my left is...
Scott Menzel. Lovely to be here.
Yes.
Number 50, huh?
It's number 50. Can you even believe that? I'm gagging.
Nikes.
I am gagging. But I'm really happy that we're at this place. Like, I can't... It was so daunting to get this off the ground and to do it and to keep it going week after week. And we are at episode 50. I'm so excited about that. And excited that episode 50 is actually coinciding with Captain Marvel.
But we'll get to that in a minute. There you go.
How was your week?
It was good. Nice and quiet. So yeah. I was happy that it moved on. Looking forward to South by Southwest this week, so I'm sure you are too.
Yes.
Always excited about what surprises are in store.
Yes. So just FYI and, you know, side note, but not really. Scott and I are actually at the South by Southwest Film Festival, and we pre-taped this episode for y'all because we know how y'all are about these brand new movies, and we did not want to leave you without our ideas and our thoughts on Captain Marvel and what is up at the South by Southwest Festival. So we're going to get the conversation started with Captain Marvel. I'm going to let you go first because I know you got a lot to
Captain Marvel. The expectations for this movie were so incredibly high. This is the first time I feel that Brie Larson has been in a lead role in a big studio film. She's been in a couple other studio films, but this is like she's front and center in this one. And first Marvel female superhero movie after DC blew everyone out of the water with Wonder Woman. The question is, can Marvel do the same? Not comparing the two movies, but can Marvel do the same? And the answer is abso-freaking-lutely.
I'm so glad you said that because I was like, is he revving up to it like that?
No.
Sucked.
I know, because we you know, the funny thing is that it's been so hush-hush about this movie. You and I both seen it over a week ago at this point.
Yes, I've seen it. I saw it for a minute. Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of hard because I really wanted to talk about it. And the review embargo, it lifts
on the 5th,
which is like, now we're talking in the future or the past, whatever we're going in. I'm just confused myself. But essentially, I was really surprised because I was the first person to admit when I saw the marketing for this movie, I didn't think it looked all that great. I thought it...
You know, that's interesting that you say that because a lot of male film critics that I know, that's what they said. They looked at it and they were like... And even people that I know that aren't film critics, when they looked at the artwork...
Yeah.
And the commercials that were coming out, they were like, ooh, that looks really cheesy. I'm like, it's a comic book. It's supposed to be cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... Come on now.
What was weird for me was I saw the trailers and the TV spots, and they did nothing for me, in all fairness. But I went to see a movie. I think it was Cold Pursuit. Mm-hmm. And I saw the trailer on the big screen, and I had a totally different perspective. And it's so rare that that happens anymore. But seeing that on the big screen, I actually got chills. I got the goosebumps.
See, this is the thing about Captain Marvel. Usually with the superhero movies and usually with commercials for films in general, they will show you all of the good bits in the commercial. That is not the case,
no.
I don't think, with Captain Marvel.
Not at all.
Like, there's a lot in the film that you don't see that's not in the commercial. So I'm really grateful for that.
Me too.
Go ahead, finish.
No.
I wanted to say,
obviously this is going to be playing the week of release, so I don't want to go into spoiler territory.
Oh, it would have already been out by the time we...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's that week. It opens this weekend.
It opened on Friday,
right?
And so
yes.
Today is Sunday the 10th. So, yeah.
So... Without giving anything away in terms of spoilers, I love how this is an origin story but doesn't follow the same formula. It's kind of like a little bit all over the place, and it's done with purpose. You know, you do feel when you walk out of the theater, you got a great origin story, but it's told in a very unique way that it's not like, okay, here's the setup, and then here's what happens next. It's kind of like the time travel aspect really adds to the film. Brie Larson, I know a lot of people have like been like, oh, she looks so wooden. Our sound producer actually said the same thing. Like, she looks so wooden in the trailer. And she does, but she has so much personality in this film. And it's nice because you really get to see so much range from her as an actress in the movie. And I love the buddy duo between her and Samuel L. Jackson. Let me just tell you,
this was the first film I'd seen Samuel L. Jackson in a long time where he looked like he was having fun.
I agree.
Because I've seen him at junkets, and he's usually salty granola, jaws tight, looking like he don't want to be there, feet up on the furniture. His mama would want to knock him into the next millennium. No. But he looks like he's having a great time with Brie Larson, and it looks like they had a great time shooting. All the stills that I've seen from the film, they all have them both just cheesing and smiling their faces off.
What I think is interesting is Brie Larson first met Samuel L. Jackson on Kong. Mm-hmm. And then she directed him in Unicorn Store, which actually is not out yet. It's going to be on Netflix next month. And it's funny because at that Q&A at Toronto, she said that he was like the most intimidating person she's ever worked with. You know, she felt very intimidated by him. And now when you see her with him for Captain Marvel, it's almost like they're so comfortable around
one
another.
It's like brother
and sister. Yeah,
it's great. They're very brother and sisterish. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it really is. And they're so supportive of one another, which I love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally wholeheartedly agree. This is what I feel about Captain Marvel. So from the female perspective of the show.
Sure.
I love the female empowerment situation that's happening within the film. First between Carol Danvers, Brie Larson's character, and Annette Bening's character.
Yes.
And then again between Lashana Lynch and Brie's character, Carol. Lashana plays Maria. This is a side note. So we were both at the junket, and at the junket, Lashana was like, there was a conversation about her campaigning for the role, right?
Yes, yes.
So she was like, yeah, I campaigned for this role. I wanted to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I love that they could have cast that role as somebody not of color.
Right.
And I love the fact that they had actually cast another girl of color in the role, but she couldn't do it for whatever reason. And Lashana was like the second person to step into the part, which I love the fact that she was that person that was the second choice to step into the role and freaking killed it. But I love the relationship between the two of them. I love the relationship between her and Annette Bening. I even love the relationship between her and Gemma Chan's character, because even though Gemma Chan, that's hard to say,
yeah, guys,
Gemma Chan is playing that character that's kind of like a bad girl, like that evil bad girl, quintessential villain type of thing. There's even a slight little relationship between that. So I love the fact that this is a superhero movie, because in Wonder Woman, she didn't have any girlfriends.
No.
She had no girlfriends.
No.
But Captain Marvel does. And side note and FYI yet again, my mother used to read this comic when she was a kid. So she was very excited. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So I said we were pre-taping this, and tonight I'm taking my mother to the premiere. I'm so excited.
Very nice.
But yeah, I love the female empowerment situation. I love the fact that Goose, the cat, steals the show in the film. I think that cat is hilarious. And I am not a cat person.
Me neither.
I'm not a cat person at all. Samuel L. Jackson, I think somebody asked him a question about Goose. He's like, I'm not a cat person. I'm not a dog person. I'm not an animal person, period. Thought that was hilarious.
I thought it was interesting, too, because everyone seemed to be the same way, right? No one really liked animals all that much, and it was weird.
But you never would have, if we hadn't been at that junket and heard him say that, you would have never in a million years guessed that from watching the film.
I agree.
Never would have guessed it. Yeah, some of the special effects are kind of cheesy and crazy, but it's supposed to. We're dealing with protons and stuff. Like, come on.
But I love that. I mean, it was very fitting to the time period, okay?
Exactly.
So essentially, a lot of this movie takes place in the early 90s. I think it's 92 or 93.
Yes.
And what I loved about that aspect of it is that there's a lot of in-jokes for people who are familiar with the technology.
And familiar with the decade.
That's right. But also, like, just the way the visual effects looked, they fit very much into the 90s time frame.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that you mentioned the relationship, and I thought this was a very interesting film because the relationships between the characters, there was no love story whatsoever. It's
no.
Something that was really refreshing about this, and I really love that element of the film, is that, you know, this is a woman who, you know, doesn't know who she is. All these stories that she thinks, you know, are the truth turn out to be lies or parts of her imagination or made up pieces. And in between this, there's a lot of male characters introduced, but there's no love story.
I love that, though. Wonderful.
Because
it's distracting sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes having a love story in the middle of it is distracting. That wasn't the case necessarily with DC's Wonder Woman.
No.
But it would have been distracting, I think, for Captain Marvel to have like a relationship going on the side while she's trying to like save the planet. So I agree with you on that. I really kind of like the fact that they didn't do that. And I do like the fact that you mentioned how she initially, when we first meet her in the film, she's trying to remember where she came from. She has no recollection. And then is with most people that have amnesia or that can't recollect their previous life, it comes back in bits and pieces. And then when it finally does come back, it's like, ooh, now the action's really going to get started. I was excited. I had the best time ever. It was such a great movie. And little girls, just like with Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah.
When little kids went to see Black Panther and when little kids went to see Wonder Woman, they came out wanting costumes as those characters and wanting to be reiteration of those characters. Little girls are going to see Captain Marvel and they're going to be like, ooh, I can be a superhero and star in my own movie. Like, I think that's really the big takeaway from this.
Oh, I completely agree. I think it's very inspirational. I mean, and it's what's interesting about the film is that even though the central character is white, there's enough culture within the film, whether it's the aliens or Maria or her daughter, where you like you feel this really like realistic balance of life. And, you know, you see Maria's daughter, she's really into Carol, and she, like, wants to be her friend.
She calls her Auntie Carol.
Right.
I love it. And that little girl is so cute.
She's great.
I just want to eat her.
She's better than the girl in Wrinkle in Time.
Okay, we're not going to go there. We are not going there.
I had to throw a little shade. It's okay.
That is shady boots. I don't even know what kind of version of shade that was. I'm not even going to give that a Richter scale on the shade level. That was just so wrong. But insty-who, you guys, we clearly loved Captain Marvel. It is in theaters on March 8th. All across the country, check it out. You will have such a really great, 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 great time. So now we're going to talk about the South by Southwest Film Festival, which happens every year in Austin, Texas at the beginning of the spring. Scott and I are both there right now as you're watching this. So that's kind of cool. It's kind of surreal, but cool all at the same time.
A little trippy.
And both of us have some picks that we're anticipating and excited about seeing. So I picked this one first because we both are excited about this one. The opening film of the festival is Us, Jordan Peele's Us, which is his second film. Well, the second film he's directing because he's produced some stuff in between that. He produced Black Klansman, and he was also a producer on the Lorena Bobbitt documentary that aired on Amazon Prime. But this is his second time directing, and it's a black horror movie. And y'all know I don't do horror, but I'm trying to support a brother. But I'm telling you, it's going to be lights and candles all night long for about a good week.
I can't wait to listen to you scream. I probably won't even sit next to you, but I'll hear you screaming somewhere.
I probably won't. I never scream. I just jump and cover up my eyes and peek through my fingers like this. It's just so sad.
Oh, you're not a screamer in these movies?
I can't. I get so scared that I can't even muster up my vocal cords to create a scream. Like, that's what kind of person I am. I'm the worst. I'm not going to scream. But this is my first time going to South by.
Yes.
This is your first.
Oh, my God. This is the longest festival I've ever attended. I think it's like 9 or 10 years at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And what is it about the festival that keeps you coming back?
It's very different from all the other festivals. I feel like it's a much more commercial festival than, say, Sundance or TIFF, because the studios kind of control the show. I mean, obviously, we're talking about Us. And throughout the festival, there's a whole bunch of other big movies that are playing. And it's weird because I usually go to festivals for indies, but they've always kind of knocked it out of the park with at least one or two of these big releases, you know, going back to like Bridesmaids or Quiet Place or Cabin in the Woods. So that's kind of like why I go, because mm-hmm. it's weird because I'm going out of state for a studio film when I can see them right here, like probably a couple weeks later. But it's just something about, you know, that term FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. You don't want to miss out. Like, you kind of want to go because you want to be that first person to experience it.
Okay.
Because then you have the realistic vision of what the film was. You know, like, after you hear a movie and it's hyped up, then you kind of go in there and you're like, oh, it's not as good as everyone's saying. It's very rare that it lives up to the expectations of the hype.
Yeah. And I don't know if you got one of these, but in the mail one day, I got this brown box.
Oh, with the scissors.
With the scissors in
it?
Yes,
I did.
So every poster that you guys see for us, it always has either Lupita Nyong'o with some scissors or the whole family standing with some scissors. I don't know what the symbolism of the scissors is, but we'll find out when we see the daggone movie. But I'm just, it's all about the scissors going like, I'm like, okay.
But we can't bring them on the plane to have them sign.
No.
Because they won't let us. Because we'll be arrested.
I could bring the box and have them sign the box, but they can't sign the scissors.
Yeah.
But I'm not really trying to travel with a box. I'm really not trying to have that in my luggage. So one of the other films that I personally was excited about seeing is a film called Back to China. It is a delicious... Oh, he's got the scissors.
Those are the scissors.
Oh my God,
yes.
That was crazy. So... Back to China is this film about this young girl named Sasha, who clearly is Chinese. Her father lives back in a little town in China, and he's calling her and asking her to come back over to help with the family business, because he wants to pass the family business down to all his kids. She's not having it, and then eventually her father kind of blackmails her, and she ends up going back to China. That's the title, Back to China. And when I tell you what I thought this film was going to be about and what it's really about are two different things. It was the most delightful, entertaining, heartfelt, heartwarming film I'd ever seen. It's directed and written by a young lady named Emily Ting, and she's pregnant, so she will not be at South by Southwest for her opening on March 9th, but I highly encourage people to check this film out. It's really, really good.
So you already saw it?
I've already seen it. I'm going to see it again because I love it. I just love it. I love that it is written by a woman. I love that it's directed by a woman. I love that she's telling a story that most people wouldn't think about. And if people are watching on YouTube, there's a picture that we're showing of these little stuffed animals. Her father has a toy factory, Emily's father does, and she designed and helped the factory craft those toys. It's the whole thing, and people will eventually see this movie, I think, because it will get distribution and it will get picked up because it's fabulous. But yeah, that's one of my favorites. And now we're going to flip over to one of your favorites, Booksmart.
I actually...
Well, not favorites, but one of the ones...
Yeah, since you shared something that you saw, I figured I can share something real quick that I saw. I saw Teen Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Which is the Elle Fanning movie. Mm-hmm. This one was originally premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival last year. I did not see it there. I hate to say this, but I thought it was horribly mediocre. I'm just going to be called like it is.
We would expect nothing less from you, my dear.
Yes.
But that's how you roll.
Because the thing is that if you're at a film festival, right, there's hundreds of movies to choose from. Okay? So if you're going to select the film, choose wisely if you can. And
it's kind of hard, you know, on that subject,
yeah,
not to interrupt, but to just interject for a second.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that because when you get accepted to attend one of these festivals,
yes,
they send you a schedule of all the films, but you don't really know. I mean, and it's hundreds and hundreds,
yes,
and hundreds of films and panels and symposiums and all these things. And you really don't know. So usually what ends up happening with me is I usually, troll the internet to see what's highly anticipated or what people are talking about. I'll go through that list after I've made a list of my own and cross-reference it, but it's really difficult.
Well, the thing what I will tell you is, you know, especially at a film festival like South By, you always want to go see the big movies that have buzz. Yes, I know
the centerpiece films.
Yeah, like they're, yeah. I know they're coming out in a couple of weeks. You're going to see them eventually. But again, like I talked about earlier, that fear of missing out, you get to see it before anyone else does. You get to be part of the hype machine that creates, you know, movies and buzz. So that's why I suggest that. The other things are like, a movie like Teen Spirit already has a slated release date. It's a couple weeks after South by,
you know. It's like March 15th or something like that.
It's like, there's a lot of these films where like, they're kind of like, they're smaller films. Even Netflix does this a lot now, where they put them out in the festival and then like 3 days later, they're out on Netflix. Like Velvet Buzzsaw, a couple other films like that. So essentially, I just say choose wisely. Go see a couple things that like you don't know much about, that you know is not going to have a release date anytime soon, and you might get a nice surprise. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm not saying don't see Teen Spirit. I'm saying if you're curious about it, don't waste your time at a festival and seeing it. Just see it when it comes out in theaters or when it goes to streaming.
Okay, all right. So what are your thoughts about Booksmart?
Oh, Booksmart, I'm so excited. This is one of those ones that I feel is so highly anticipated. Mm-hmm. Olivia Wilde, her directorial debut. It stars Beanie Feldstein, who was from Lady Bird, who I absolutely loved in that movie. And I'm just looking forward to a female-written, directed, coming-of-age story. And I love these types of movies because I love Lady Bird. I was like on the fence about Blockers because I felt
like... I remember
like,
that last yeah, year. Because, and I was like, Blockers is going to be good. And you were like,
Yeah, because Blockers to me was the problem of like, you can tell that there was like a female behind the camera, but there's still the writing, some of the jokes. And
what
I
do
think
you mean you could tell there was a female behind the camera?
You can tell like just like the way that certain shots, like it wasn't exploitive. Mm-hmm. You remember, like there's not a lot of nudity in that film. Like
no, if
a
and it shouldn't be. That's not the purpose of the film.
But if a guy was directing that,
it would have been.
You know, there
okay,
would have been
got
a lot.
You. Okay.
But then you can tell, and you even said this on the show, and I remember this way back when. Is like you said, there's no way a woman wrote this, and you know, and I felt the exact same way. And then I saw a movie called Summer 03 the next day, and that was a female written and directed film, and you mm-hmm. can tell it was just the jokes were like a little bit smarter, they weren't as grotesque, and that's what I'm hoping with Booksmart. I'm hoping to get a really well-rounded friendship movie that does a little bit of sexual exploration and stuff like that, but is handled in such a mature manner, and that's what I'm looking forward to for this movie.
Okay, so another film that I am excited about seeing is this film called Villains. It's a dark comedy.
Oh yes, I'm looking forward.
I really
kind of
want to see that. It's directed by Dan Burke and Robert Olsen. It stars Bill Skarsgård, who I really love. I love him so much. Maika Monroe, Kira Sedgwick, who I also love, and Jennifer Donovan. And it'll have its premiere at South by Southwest on March 12th. So I'm excited about seeing that. What else am I excited about seeing? Oh, you were excited about seeing Stuber.
Yes. Kumail Nanjiani's follow-up to The Big Sick stars him and Dave Bautista. Mm-hmm. And apparently an odd buddy comedy where he's a Uber driver and Dave Bautista is crazy. An undercover agent, and somehow they get together and they go through a couple nights of interesting stuff, I'm sure. I don't know. It's just something like, I guess after The Big Sick, like even though I was kind of like mixed on Silicon Valley, which is kind of like where he got his start from, there was something about watching The Big Sick that just made me a fan. And I just love that movie so much that he's kind of in that ballpark right now where it's like, I'm going to go see anything he does for the next couple of movies unless they suck. And then like after a couple of them, then I might not see them anymore. But this one just sounds like fun. And it sounds like a good South by movie.
Cool. Well, another one that I am excited about seeing is a film called Come As You Are. Mainly because there's another, we're kind of like on an Indian thing.
Yeah.
So Dev Patel is in that movie along with Gabourey Sidibe and Grant Rosenmeyer and Hayden Seto. And it's a true story about three young men with disabilities traveling across country.
Oh, yeah, to get pregnant. Well, not pregnant, have sex for the first time. Yes, right,
it's like they're going to a brothel in Montreal, and Gabourey Sidibe is the nurse that drives them there. It just sounds so incredibly crazy and outlandish that I kind of want to see it just for that reason.
I also think it's inspired by a true story.
I said true story at the beginning.
It's interesting. I have that one on my list, too, because it sounds so out there and weird that I'm kind of like, yeah, I kind of have to see this.
I'm kind of there for all of that.
Yeah, I'm always there for the weird ones.
I'm always there for that. And then, of course, I'm in Austin, Texas. It's the South. You know, and Austin is a city that is known for its music and everything. So how am I going to be at the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, and not see a documentary about Johnny Cash?
There you go.
I'm just saying.
You have to.
I got to see the journey of Johnny Cash. Got to see it. I love me some Johnny Cash. I remember a long time ago when the movie came out with Reese Witherspoon and Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. Walk the Line?
Yes. I remember sitting in the movie theater and the credits were rolling, and I knew all the lyrics to all the Johnny Cash songs because I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. And in St. Louis, when I was growing up, we had one radio station and they played everything. They played rock and roll. They played R&B. They played classical. They played everything on this one station. And they played country music a lot because St. Louis is real close to Branson and the Ozark Mountains and all that. So I used to get my healthy fill of country music all the time growing up. And Johnny Cash was one of my favorites. But I was singing. I was sitting there mouthing all the words to all the songs when the credits were rolling. And this little white man sitting next to me, who was like 100 years old, he was like, "How do you know these songs?" And I was like, like because I'm black, I can't know no country music songs. And I was like, don't we all know the lyrics to these songs? And I turned back around and kept singing. I'm like, get out of here with that. But I say all that to say that I adore Johnny Cash. And what's interesting about Johnny Cash's journey is that, you know, when he first met June Carter was the bigger star of the two of them. And then eventually she kind of took a back seat as his star rose. So I don't know. And I've seen a million documentaries on Johnny Cash, but I love always seeing something new. And another one that's coming out that I love seeing something new about is there's one on Richard Pryor.
Right. I was going to ask you about that.
There's Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor is single-handedly responsible for me gravitating toward comedy because he was so brilliant at it. He literally just took his life and made it funny. And it set a precedent because if you look at the way stand-up comedians do their sets now, they usually take stuff from, it's observational comedy. It's not, you know, because comedians used to just kind of go through the audience and pick on people and that would be their set. Now, most of the comedians are doing observational comedy where they literally are observing their life and people in and around the world and just do observational comedy. And it's hilarious. But Richard Pryor, he was brilliant. He was one of a kind. I'm getting all emotional about Richard Pryor. I don't think we will ever see another comedian on the planet that was as funny as he was. He was just funny. He was funny, and he wasn't trying to be funny. He just would say stuff, and you would laugh. The funniest thing he ever said that made me crack up was after he had lit himself on fire.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of, I think it was the comedy show he did called Live on Sunset Strip, he took a match, and he said, "Yeah, I've been hearing all them things y'all been saying about me. I heard all them jokes y'all been saying about me," and then he lit this match, and he said, "What's this?" and moved the match across his face. He said, "Yeah, Richard Pryor running down the street." I hollered, because that says that he has no problem doing self-deprecating comedy either.
Right.
Like, he was very well that people were clowning him, and he made fun of himself so that people couldn't make fun of him anymore.
I mean, you know, it's interesting because I grew up watching, I didn't watch a lot of his stand-up, mm-hmm. but I watched a lot of his movies with Gene Wilder. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I think that's what makes certain people so timeless. You know, yesterday was the, 8 days ago for this video airing, was the anniversary of John Candy's death.
Yes.
And I love John Candy.
He
and
was
it was
so
just
funny.
Something about him that was so iconic and no one could replace him. And then there was like, and then Chris Farley came out, you know, and that was like the closest thing you kind of got to him. And that's just what's weird about things is that we live in an industry, we work in an industry where I feel like a lot of what happens here is very repetitive. And like, there's a lot of pop stars and there's a lot of actors and there's a lot of comedians.
Well, you know
why. But there's so few that really stand out.
But you know why it's so repetitive? Because once the industry and the powers that be sees something that makes money, then everybody wants to make money at that very same thing. Just like This Is Us came on television.
Oh, yes.
It was groundbreaking. Yes. We hadn't seen something like This Is Us since 30-something back in the day, right? Then what happens? ABC comes up with A Million Little Things, is basically another a darker version of This Is Us. It's good, and I enjoy it, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not like the same. Right.
People just take stuff and they create it. I remember talking to Dan Fogelman during TIFF, and I worked with Dan Fogelman on a show he created called The Neighbors. So it's so wild to me that the same person that created The Neighbors could create something like This Is Us.
Oh, I know.
And I said that to him when I talked to him. I'm like, where do you go to create these types of projects? And he said, I just go to my life. I'm swinging back around to Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
It's people's lives are so individual and so unique that anybody can make a career making observational comedy about their lives. Because your life isn't like the person next door to you or down the street or even around the corner. It's yours.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the documentary is called, thank you for bringing up John Candy. I have forgotten about that.
Yeah.
The Richard Pryor documentary is called I Am Richard Pryor. You guys, you're gonna love it. I just love anything that deals with Richard Pryor. I really do. I love, you like going to film festivals for a variety of different reasons. I like going to film festivals to see documentaries because a lot of the documentaries I see at the festival, some of them I never see again. But then this year, two of the documentaries that I saw, like at the AFI Doc Film Festival, they both got nominated for Oscars. I was like, Minding the Gap and Period, End of Sentence. And Period, End of Sentence won.
She won, I know.
I was like, they better win an Oscar about periods. But if you see that film, if people have not seen Period, End of Sentence, I'm sure it's streaming somewhere. You really need to check it out. It is the best film ever. It's just not about periods. It's about this man in a town in another country that sees the shame and the dark, negative connotation that having a cycle for a woman has in his country with the men in his country. And so he finds a way to create a machine that makes the pads for women to wear during their cycle and teaches these women how to make the pads so that they can make money on their own.
Oh.
It's not what you think. Period, End of Sentence is not what you think it is. It's really good. It's really good. Check it out.
I will.
So South by Southwest seems to be having a horror theme this year because it's starting out with us and it's ending with Pet Cemetery.
You know, it's funny. I mentioned this a couple of days ago. It's very fascinating is that horror movies have always been South by's baby. I mean,
Saw Halloween there last year, right?
No, that was Quiet Place.
Quiet Place, yes.
Halloween was at Toronto.
Okay.
But Cabin in the Woods, I mean, Tragedy Girls. There's always usually at least one or two really big horror movies that come out of South by Southwest. And I think they're really embracing that. Just like if you notice, a lot of the descriptions for the movies are also comedy. A lot of comedy-based movies, especially the studio ones. Those are the two things that they know how to do best. When it comes to drama, leave that to Sundance, leave that to Toronto. But for them, they do the horror movies, they do the comedies, and it usually spell success for them. And I think that's why there's a lot of focus on it. With that being said, I feel like the lineup this year is far weaker than most of the previous years I've been there.
Why do you feel that?
I read through a lot of descriptions and I can tell you that there's probably, and I couldn't name the names off the movies, which is also a bad sign, but like there's probably about like 9 to 10 movies that I would say that I'm really excited to see. There's a few where I'm like, I'm going to go see this because I'm a little curious. And then there's just a whole bunch, like I was reading through it. I'm like, skip, skip, skip. It didn't have, it's weird when I go to a festival. I don't know if you feel the same way. I make a list of all these movies that I want to see or something that intrigues me. And I look at this list and I'm usually like, I start panicking because it's like, oh my God, there's 35 movies I want to see. Like, how am I going to squeeze this in my 7 or 10 days that I'm there? And this year it was kind of like I had 10 to 12, and I looked at them and I was kind of like, well, if I have to miss that one, I guess I'll miss that one. It's not that big of a deal. Like, it was weird. I didn't feel like that oomph, like I really needed to see them. I don't know. Oh, okay. There's a few, like, I would be devastated if I walked out of South by and I didn't see Us or Booksmart. That I can tell you. But, like, some of the other movies, like Beach Bum, like, if I don't see Beach Bum, I'm okay with that.
I kind of want to see Beach Bum.
But I'm okay if I don't see it.
I like McConaughey, so I'm just like, I just want to see it. I do too,
but I'm kind of like, if I don't see it there, it's like, I'm okay.
Okay, all right, Scott,
do you feel like the lineup, okay, so we just came from Sundance.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you had the lineup had the same impact that you had when you looked at your Sundance lineup?
Sundance is, it's like you alluded to earlier, Sundance is different because three quarters, and I've said this on this show before, three quarters of the shows, three quarters of the movies that come out of Sundance usually end up being in the conversation when Oscars start rolling around.
Right.
Like Clemency is one of the films at Sundance that's going to be in the conversation when Oscars roll around.
Farewell
is going to be in the conversation. Native Son is going to be in the conversation. So a lot of films that come out of Sundance usually end up being in the conversation when award season start rolling around. I've never been to South by Southwest, and I honestly never paid it too much attention up until this year. So I'm excited to go so that I can establish an opinion about how I feel about it. But what I do know is that it has a nice mix of, they do a lot of political stuff down there. They do a lot of music stuff down there. They do a lot of art stuff down there. And they do the films. I feel like with this particular festival, there's just too much to choose from and you can't do everything.
I'm glad you pointed that out. So essentially, that's what's great about South By for those who are like really into media in general. So there's a comedy festival.
Yeah, they've got tech stuff too.
Tech.
Yeah.
You know, there's everything. There's a little bit of everything, which makes it a little bit harder to schedule, like you're saying, like, because there's some panels you want to go to. Maybe there's a music, you know, a band performing that you want to see. So it's kind of difficult to navigate. But I think as a straight up film festival, like if you were just to separate the film festival aspect of it, I think that's where I my opinion comes from. I think because I just look at it from the film festival standpoint.
Okay.
And I don't look at the other stuff because I agree. If I looked at what bands I wanted to see or if there was an interesting tech panel, I would just like bang my head on the table because I don't think I'd be able to squeeze it all in.
Oh, I squeeze it in. I
know
get
you
in.
Do. I don't know how you do it.
I get it
I,
in.
I don't know
I'll be
how
like,
you
I,
do it.
I run around like a fan because I will leave something early to go to something else. I'll just leave because I see people. And I used to feel bad when I would want to leave. And then I would see, like, I would be at the festivals like at Sundance. Them credits start rolling. People start bouncing. They're out onto the next thing. And I was like, ooh, okay. Sundance was fun, though. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you were like boom, 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 boom.
I was all over the place, and I saw so many movies. I saw so many movies that I literally had, like, this wash over my brain of how am I going to write all this up? How am I going to talk about all this? But I did it, but I was like,
and oof. Where you differ from me, one of the many ways, is that you really enjoy the partying social aspect of things.
I do. You know, this is the thing. It's not so much a party situation.
Socializing, right?
It's the networking. I love meeting other people, and I love talking to other critics, and just to broaden my horizon, broaden my base of people, and broaden my knowledge. Because sometimes, you know, like I remember I went to see The Last Black Man in San Francisco, and I was like, what did I just see? And I was sitting with another critic, I think it was Candace I was sitting with, and I said, how did you feel about that? And we had a whole discussion about it. And sometimes when I'm having a discussion with someone that I don't know very well, and we're discussing a film, it helps to broaden my horizons and it helps to broaden my mindset about certain things. So that's why I like to do the socializing thing, because I'm a people person, and I just like to meet other people and, you know, just broaden my base a little bit and to figure out what other things are on people's minds and what's on the pulse that they want to see moving. You know, how do they want to see the needle move in the industry? How do they want to see the needle move with the films? You know, how do they feel about the types of films that were at Sundance? How do they feel about the influx of inclusion when it comes to diversity? So that's why I like to do the whole, I like to debate and I like to talk and I just like to have those conversations with people. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, it's funny because I do that a lot at when, like, when we go to screenings and like even at the screenings at film festivals, I always talk to people leading up to like when they do the introductions. And it's weird because I always get invites to parties and events afterwards, and like very rarely do I go to them. And this is, like I said, this is where you and I are very different, is that there's gets to a point where my people quota has been met for the day. And I literally, like, I get to that point and I'm kind of like, yes, I really do want to go to the US party. But like the other part of me is like, no, you don't. You want to go home and be quiet and just sit on your computer and write the review up and be yourself.
I'm going to go to that US party. I'm going to go to that US party and I'm going to be living my best life.
I will go to that one. And I will go to that one.
So we are going to go to the US party and we are going to be, because I'm all about this. And this is another reason why I go to the parties.
Yes.
FYI, but not really. So I go to the parties to get some free food.
There you go.
Like,
I know.
I'm like, let's get, come on now. Let's get some free food and some free alcohol so I don't have to spend my per diem. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
And I think that's a good note to end
there
on.
There you go. Free food.
Free food don't and spend free all alcohol. Your yeah. Hey, yep, hey, yep. Hey. So, anywho, The South by Southwest Film Festival. That is so friggin' hard to say.
It is.
The South by Southwest Film Festival runs from March 8th through the 17th, I believe, yes. Right? In Austin, Texas. Scott and I will be there to kick it off. We've already given you a little sneak peek about what to see there. And we will be back here on the 17th of March. But until that time, where can we find you, Scott?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Other Scott M, or go to weliveentertainment.com.
Yes, and you can find your girl Carla Renata, aka the Curvy Film Critic, across all social media platforms at the Curvy Critic. Don't forget to give us those reviews on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube. Talk to us. We will talk back, as we have proven in the past. So until the 17th of March, see you later. Bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.